For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
The Lord is going to talk to us. Obviously, He uses us as instruments, but we must believe that it's not just, you know, someone coming up and speaking from the top of their head, but there's been a preparation in the hearts. Our hearts, the hearts of the listeners, the hearers, and the heart of the preacher. So let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your wonderful blessing today in our lives. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the wonderful deliverance that You have given us. And Lord, I pray that this morning we understand more about faith. We understand that it magnifies You. We are to magnify You by faith. And we praise You and thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You that faith pleases You and we desire to please You. And we praise You today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk this morning about faith magnifies God, not the problem. Faith magnifies God, not the problem. Let's first of all look at Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now we should understand by now that faith is about believing God and acting on what God has said. And Romans 15, verse 13 gives us an insight into how we know that we are in faith once we've received a word from God. And of course, all words from God must be rooted and grounded in the Bible, the Word of God. And we understand that the Lord speaks to people in their hearts and shows the way. The Bible says the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God leads us, shows us things to come, teaches us all things, guides us into all truth. So we know that the Holy Ghost is present in our lives. If we've been born again, that's a reality. The Spirit is in us and He is speaking to us constantly and continually. Romans 15 verse 13 tells us a wonderful key. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." We have to understand that faith is rooted and grounded in hope. And if you just keep your fingers in Romans 15 and go quickly across to Hebrews 11 verse 1. I can quote it by memory, but I want you to cast your eyes on it. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, we see here, "Now faith is the substance of things," what? "Hoped for." Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we see that we have faith, okay? It's a substance, spiritual, of things hoped for. There is a blueprint which has been laid down by the word God has given. And so it's like the blueprint of a house. You know what you're going to get in the house, but the house is not yet built. But faith says the house is going to be built. There's a certainty to that. Got that blueprint. It's the evidence of things not seen. So notice it's the substance of things hoped for. And so one of the facts that we can take hold of spiritually is that if you are in faith, you will have hope in you. And that hope, if we go back to Romans 15 verse 13, that hope will do something in there. And this is not just a wishing type of hope of the people of the world. "Oh, I hope that's going to happen." They don't really believe anything. It's just this airy-fairy hope. No, the Bible says that that Abraham hoped against hope. So he's talking about there's a worldly hope and there's a biblical hope, which is grounded. Obviously, hope is grounded in a future thing to come. But we have the blueprint in the word of God. And here we see in Romans 15 verse 13, now the God of hope, so where does biblical hope come from? The God of hope, God, fill you. He wants you to be filled with this. With all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So we're not relying on ourselves, are we? We're saying that the God of hope is going to fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Now, the believing part is where we have to make a decision. We can make a decision to believe or a decision not to believe. Okay? Decision to believe that we have the victory, that God always causes us to triumph, that we are led by the Spirit of God. We believe that. Might not look like it. You remember, faith is not based on things seen. Okay? It may not look like it. It may look as though things are coming against you and you're not going to get that vision that God gave. You're not going to get that thing that you're hoping for, that God has shown you. It may not look like it, but what do you say? You say, no, the Word says this. You know, you might have pain in your body, but where's your hope? The hope of healing must be grounded in what the Word says, which is Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay? And so we say, this pain might be here, but I believe in joy and peace. I'm settled in it. I believe that the Word which says that Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, and I am redeemed from the curse of the law, and in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, devil, you get out. And I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. So we have that hope. And it is backed, as it says there, you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So it's backed by the power of the Holy Ghost. So how do you know you're in faith? Well, once again, there's that hope. You've got to have that hope, that biblical hope. So it's not just any old thing. Oh, I hope I win Tats Lotto. Well, see, that's not a biblical thing. It's not a godly thing. But no, it's. I have that hope that I am increasing in the Lord to hear, or this is going to happen in response to what I prayed, etc. And so, you're believing for that. You're believing according to the word God has given you, and you have joy and peace. There's a settling in your heart. Joy and peace in believing. Now, one of the problems is that people focus on the things they shouldn't be believing. I just mentioned it before. They focus on circumstances, or they focus on obstacles, or they focus on mountains, or they focus on things that seem to stop you from getting what you're hoping for in the Lord. And what we have to understand is that that's not what God says for us to do. God says for us to be magnifying, to be exalting Him, His ways, His truth, His word, and concentrating on that. The Bible tells us that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So there has to be a renewal in a lot of people's mind. A lot of Christians, they're centering on all the external, all the bad things, all the wrong things, and they're not understanding that your answer is in the Word of God. If you have a problem, you get into the Word and you say, Lord, speak to me through your Word. Show, and that's seeking part, isn't it? You know, He rewards them that diligently seek Him. Diligence is needed to get into the Word of God. Have a look at Psalm 18, verses 1 to 3. See, what should we be exalting? How should we be living our lives in faith so that we have that settled joy and peace? In believing. Now, the devil wants to get you off believing, obviously. He's your adversary, but you've got to resist him. You cast down imaginations that say the opposite to what you're believing for, and so on. Now, Psalm 18, we'll start from verse 1, Psalm 18, we'll go to verse 3, first of all. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now, there's a few things here to understand. What is the word that is repeated through this? It's the word will. So it's an act of your will. It's a decision. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Okay? Verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Okay, so what's he doing? He's concentrating on the Lord, isn't he? In fact, his confession is about the Lord. Look in verse 2. The Lord is my rock. This is the reality. It doesn't matter that enemies are surrounding him. David saw this. It didn't matter that there were enemies all around or enemies coming against him. He says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. There's that word will again. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Oh, but there's enemies all around you, David. There's enemies all around. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my... Can you see what he's doing here? This is what we answer to the circumstance of the enemies, the obstacles, the mountains. And notice he says, so shall, which is a hope thing, isn't it? So shall I be saved from mine enemies. So we must put into our heart and our mouth the word of faith, which is what Romans 10 tells us to do, and speak that and think on that and bring that to the fore whenever the devil would try to say, oh, but there's that enemy there, or there's that obstacle there, or there's that pain, etc. You say, I will love the Lord. I will trust the Lord. And so on. Have a look at verse 46 of Psalm 18. So just go across a bit there. And notice what he says here. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Okay, so what's he doing here? Let God be exalted. Let the God of my salvation. Do you have salvation in the Lord? Well, salvation is not just, and I've said this many times, not just, oh, I'm saved from going to hell. And that's a wonderful salvation, wonderful part of salvation. Your salvation is a whole man. Your whole man, spirit, soul, and body, is saved. Saved from sin, the consequences of sin, the enemies of God. And we should put this into our mouth. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. That means you're in a steady place, a firm foundation. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Are you putting that into your mouth today? Do that. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let's say that. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Praise the Lord. Let him be exalted in your life. Let him be magnified. Praise him. The Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice. Say, thank you, Lord. You have provided salvation. You are my deliverer. You are my healer. You are my rock. You are my fortress. Be like the psalmist. And with joy, say, let the God of my salvation be exalted. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Psalm 70, verse 4. Go across to Psalm 70, verse 4. And once again, we see this principle coming out. Now, you know, there are things we should love. We should love the Word of God. We should love God. We should love the brethren. We should love our salvation that God has given us. And this is what it says here. Psalm 70, verse 4. Let all those that seek thee, what? Rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say what? Continually let God be magnified. Why does he put the word continually there? Because that's what we should be doing. Are you in that category that he's pointing to here in verse 4? Are you a person that seeks God? Then you should be rejoicing and being glad in God. Are you a person that loves God's salvation? Then what should you be saying continually? Ah, the problem's too big. I'll never get there. Well, this is never going to happen to me or in my life, etc., etc. Or are you going to say, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what that says. What does the Word say? Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. It says here, say continually. You have a salvation. You have a salvation. All of us have a salvation that has been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for it. He purchased it. We didn't purchase it ourselves. We couldn't. But he purchased it for us. And praise the Lord now, we love his salvation. We love his salvation. And we should be saying, let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. Not the problem, because faith magnifies God. Let God be magnified. Let's just say that continually. Let's say that now. Let God be magnified. And again, let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified in our lives personally, in this church, wherever we go. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. This is not a small thing. If you love God's salvation, if you love God's salvation, this is why, you know, it disturbs me that there are churches all over the place that don't say that salvation encompasses the whole man. It's called the full gospel. But we have to say, let God be magnified. Praise the Lord. Regardless of the enemies, regardless of the circumstances, and so on, the mountains. Let God be magnified above all else. Above all else. And we should be saying it continually. Continually. And rejoicing and being glad in God. Praise the Lord. God's people have had attacks against peace and joy. But God's ways of faith is a stand, isn't it? It's a stand. It's saying, I stand in what the Word says, what God has said to me. Let God be magnified. I love God's salvation. There is deliverance in God's salvation. There is protection. There is strength. Put it into your mouth. Let's have a look at Isaiah 26 verse 3. You know, if you are serious about living in victory, then there is aspects of things that you have to do. As I said before, Jesus purchased the salvation, but he wants you to walk in it, to walk in what he has purchased. Okay? Faith requires us to be active, not passive. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Is faith about trusting God? Of course it is. Is faith about believing God? Yes. Well, if you trust God and believe him, then what you've got to do is stay your mind on him. This is part of exalting the God of your salvation and magnifying the God of your salvation. You might say, well, there's all types of worries and fears over here that I have to meditate on. Hey, wait a minute, you have to meditate on them? Is that the reality? What does God say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Think of that word stayed, kept, stayed, it's fixed. Okay, centered on the Lord. So if there's things disturbing your peace, how do you get out of that? If there's turmoil trying to come against you, what do you do? Well, you stay your mind on the Lord. You get into the Word, get into prayer, get into seeking the Lord. You stay your mind on the Lord. And you cast down the imaginations. You say, in the name of Jesus, I cast down that imagination. I take authority over that in Jesus' name. Verse 4 says, trust ye in the Lord forever. Forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Can you see that? Everlasting strength. We have him as our strength. We saw David confess the Lord as his strength. The Lord is my strength. Is my strength. Is my strength. Can you say the Lord is my strength? Let's all say that. The Lord is my strength. Is now. Not will be. That's the reality. Now. Because you have salvation. When? Now. When you've received Christ, when you've been born again, when you received him as your Lord and Saviour, you have that salvation now. Now. Oh, yes, but I feel weak. But he's your strength now. You've got to concentrate on him. You've got to stay your mind on him. You've got to say, I trust in him. I trust in God. Stay your mind. God promises perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee. So if there's a disruption to your peace, perhaps there's something you're not doing here. You might need to stay your mind on him. Seek him. Trust requires action. And part of that action is staying your mind on him. Praise the Lord. Look at John 14. We'll look at John 14 verse 1. Jesus is speaking here in John 14 verse 1. Remember, joy and peace in believing. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That's God's will, isn't it? That's God's will. For us to have joy and peace in believing. We saw about rejoicing, being glad in God. We're seeing about peace. We'll see a bit more about peace here. How can you be in peace when there's all types of storms around you? When you're living on this sin-filled planet, devil-filled planet, how can you be in peace? Well, you've got to believe. And here it says here, John 14 verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the way, the life. He's the truth. He's the one to look to. The author and finisher of our what? Faith. Okay? I am crucified with who? Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. So we know where we should be centering. And Jesus tells us here, let not your heart be troubled. If God says, let not your heart be troubled, then he is giving you the ability to let not your heart be troubled. You see that? That might mean you have to cast down a few imaginations or worries or fears. Might mean you have to say, I refuse to fear. I refuse that thought. I refuse to meditate on that because I'm going to stay my mind on him. Faith magnifies God, exalts God, not the problem. And one of the things we must do is not to allow our heart to be troubled, our heart, our inner man, to be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be troubled. Trouble is directly from the heart of the devil. Okay? Why? Because he wants to disturb your joy, get rid of your peace. He doesn't want you believing. Can you be a believing person and be filled with bitterness or be filled with turmoil or trouble? You can't. He wants to get you away from faith. He knows that faith pleases God. He wants to get you away from that so that you're not believing, you're in turmoil, you're out of joy. But God says, let not your heart be troubled. You can say, I will rejoice. I will believe. I will trust. Let not your heart be troubled. Go also in John 14 to verse 27. Verse 27. Now the peace we have doesn't come from ourselves, does it? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it says here. So we should be believing Jesus when he says this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If God says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, can you do that? You can do that, can't you? He's given you the ability to do it in Christ. If he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, can you have the peace of God regardless of enemies, regardless of mountains, circumstances, etc., etc.? You see, we have to walk in the will of God. And we then have to say, I believe what God says. I believe Jesus. Isn't that what he said at John 14 verse 1? I believe what Jesus has said here. Peace I leave with you. So we should say, I have the peace of Jesus. I claim the peace of Jesus in Jesus' name. I have that. And stay your mind on the Lord and you'll have that perfect peace. God wants to fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. And Jesus says here, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Can you believe that? You should believe it. Because then you'll be believing Jesus, wouldn't you? You can say, I have the peace that Jesus has paid for me. He's paid for. The chastisement of our peace. Perhaps we should look at that. Go back to Isaiah 53. Let's have a look at that. Because Isaiah 53 is all about a prophecy about Jesus and what he did for us. Isaiah 53. This is what Jesus did for us. Wonderful. Praise the Lord Jesus. He has done wonderful things for us. Let's have a look at a few scriptures here. In Isaiah 53. Start from verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Anything causing grief, he's borne it. Borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus paid for your peace. You may not have realized that, but he did. The chastisement of our peace, what has come against your peace, he's paid for you. That you might have perfect peace. That he might give you peace. Peace. And that's why Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You know, I was meditating in the Lord just recently, and God said to me, I have given my people five fingers, yet many of them are not even lifting their little finger to do anything in the kingdom of God. What does it mean? I've given my people five fingers. Let's have a look at Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. This is all relating to what I've been saying. You'll see it. Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. I thought, what does God mean when he says, I've given my people five fingers? Five fingers. I thought, well, that's an interesting thing to say, Lord. But what does it mean? And the Lord took me to this scripture. Psalm 144, verses 1 and 2. Blessed be the Lord, my what? My strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. So, he teacheth our hands to war. He is teaching us about our warfare. Does the Bible say that Christians have a warfare? It does. It talks about the weapons of our warfare. You see, if we have weapons, we need to use those, don't we? My fingers to fight. Does the Bible say that Christians have a fight? It does. It talks about the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. So he has to teach us about that good fight of faith. And the fingers symbolically are the things that the Lord has given us. Given us to use in that fight. He's given it to us. He's given us graces. He's given us abilities. He's given it to us, and he will teach us how to fight, how to war. Why? Because although he has given his salvation and he's given his peace, we have to take hold of that. We have to stay our minds on him. We have to walk the walk of faith. We have to magnify the Lord. We have to cast down imaginations. We have to come against the enemy by resisting him. Isn't that what the scriptures say? There'll be times when we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So there is a wrestling that happens. But it's all done by faith. And we must be. In fact, the church as a whole, if it's to have any inroads into our society and across the world, has to be taught how to war and how to fight. But not in our own strength, because it says, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength." Not in our own strength, not in our own ways, but in what the Lord has given and what the Lord is showing. And in God's strength, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we center our life, our thinking, our ways on the Lord. We must. The devil is seeking to undermine us. You know, Christians walking by faith are one of his worst nightmares. It's a fact. And we have to be taught of the Lord. Let me just read verse 1 again. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Faith is not a passive thing. Not a passive thing. So we should be people that don't look at the enemies, problems, circumstances as though things are hopeless. Why? Because the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. We are not people that are hopeless or without hope. We should speak to the mountains. We should confess who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. I did a couple of sermons back about that. You can listen to them online. Let the God of your salvation be exalted. The world might say something. The devil might say something. The enemies of God might say something. But you say, but the Word says this. And I love my salvation. And I say, let the God of my salvation be magnified. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. Let God be exalted. And I exalt the Lord. It has to come out of your mouth. It has to come from a heart of believing. It has to come from a heart that is saying, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I just want to finish with Revelation 12, verse 10. We'll finish this today. Revelation 12, verse 10. And I want you to keep in your mind, in your heart, faith magnifies God, not the problem. So if you find yourself starting to speak about the problem and about the mountain, about the worry and about the fear and about this, which is contrary to the Word, you say, no, I check myself. I stop myself. I say, I've got a salvation. I've got a deliverer. I've got someone who is greater than who's in the world. And he lives in me. He's in me. And he's given all types of wonderful things in me. Praise the Lord. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. So looking at Revelation 12, verse 10. And I'll finish with this. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The devil's a defeated foe. He's cast down. You say to him, you get down where you should be. Don't get in my ear. Get down. I have a salvation. I have strength. I have the power of God, the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. I pray that you've been encouraged this morning, because the Lord wants to encourage his people, to exhort his people. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that wonderful salvation provided for us. We thank you, Lord, for that. And we praise you. We give all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We magnify you and praise you and exalt you. And Lord, I ask that this morning you impact upon our hearts to be people that look to you continually, seek you, seek your face. Help us, Lord. Show us. Bring us to another level. In Jesus' name, from faith to faith. Thank you, Lord.